of larger movements, a world, a planetary concerns, which means that we also have to take into consideration what is happening to the environment of the world. So I, I'm hoping that in our campaigns, our local campaigns, such as what is happening in Chicago right now, we don't lose sight of the fact that we are a part of a larger context, a planet that will have no future if we are not successful in some of these radical democratic struggles.
Well, Angela Davis, we want to thank you so much for being with us, world-renowned abolitionist, author, activist, distinguished professor emerita at University of California, Santa Cruz, author of many books, including a new updated edition of her autobiography, Angela Davis. Tonight, Angela Davis will be giving the keynote address at the Audubon Ballroom, which is now the Shabazz Center. DemocracyNow.org will be linking to that YouTube stream. Ben Crump will also be speaking. I will be saying a few words. And Malcolm X's daughter will be introducing and giving a keynote as well, Dr. Ilyasa Shabazz. So go to democracynow.org for the details. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are tuned into KBO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for variations on the theme of folk music during KBOO's Folk Strip. Each morning brings you a different DJ and a wonderful variety of acoustic and roots music, both traditional and contemporary. You'll hear the latest from singer-songwriters, happy jigs and reels, bluesy folk, a sea shanty or two, some old favorites, local artists and artists from around the world, a touch of Cajun, a dose of indie, and a smidge of jug band. It's probably the best way on earth to wake up. So let us start your day with a smile. Again, that's every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for KBOO's folk music programs.
Hi, I'm Cory Doctorow, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
This is, as the man said, KBOO Portland. It's 8:02 a.m. It's Tuesday. It's time for Too Much Information with your host, Abe Proctor. Stay tuned.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Too Much Information on KBOO 90.7 FM. My name is Abe Proctor, and normally this would be the point in the show where I introduce my remarkable co-host, Tracy Simmons, but unfortunately Tracy is a little under the weather this morning and won't be with us. It's just going to be you and me. So strap in. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. looking forward to hearing your opinions on today's topic, because I think it's something that gets at a number of themes that have repeatedly come up on this show, one of which is the inability of the American media to accurately portray both American politics and American politicians, and also the strange phenomenon that is Fox News within the greater American media ecosystem. I think it'll become clear in a few minutes why I believe today's topic hits that intersection, but it has big ramifications for us as progressives, because it gets right at some of the reasons why it's difficult to even get progressive ideas, progressive legislation, progressive policy proposals spoken of in a robust way on mainstream media platforms. So hope to shed light on all of that. In order to do so, I'm going to start out this morning by taking us back in time a little ways. And by that, I mean way back in time, to the 6th century BCE. A guy named Plato, living in Athens in Greece, wrote a dialogue, as he was wont to do, called The Republic. And The Republic describes a conversation, a dialogue, that Plato is having with his brother Glaucon and their mutual mentor Socrates. You may have heard of him. And in this dialogue, Socrates is describing to them how most people live their lives unable to perceive reality as it actually is, rather living their lives on a steady diet of those images and other sensory impressions which their rulers want them to see. So he lays this out in a famous passage he calls the Allegory of the Cave. And here's how that goes. So ordinary people, says Socrates, live their lives dwelling in this cave. And in this cave, they are chained. They are chained and they're facing the wall of the cave. And on the wall of the cave, they watch shadows play back and forth, flickering on the wall. These shadows are cast by a large fire that's burning behind them in the cave. And between the fire and the prisoners is a low rampart where people are hiding. And they will hold up shadow puppets above that rampart so that the images of these shadow puppets are projected onto the wall in front of the bound prisoners. And the interplay of these shadow puppets on the wall is what constitutes what the prisoners believe to be reality, never realizing that not only are other people shaping this reality for him, but what they what for them, but what they believe to be reality is in fact several degrees removed from reality in its purest form. So the process of becoming a philosopher or becoming enlightened, says Socrates, involves a number of stages, realizing, first of all, that the images on the wall are not actually your reality. Secondly, realizing that the images there are being cast by others by way of the fire and the shadow puppets. And thirdly, it involves getting up, tossing off your chains, and making your way out of the cave and into the sunlight, which is the realm of pure reason, of pure logic, of mathematics and geometry, and ultimately what Plato called his theory of forms, which is an eminently disputable idea of how the universe is actually organized. But the allegory is useful for us here in the present, because I think it's pretty accurate to say that in the age of electronic media, of streaming entertainment, of the 24-hour news cycle, of this enormous preponderance of information that is available to us at the snap of the fingers at any time of day or night, I don't think conditions have ever more accurately reflected Plato's allegory of the cave than they do right now, nor have as many people sat there chained, watching the shadows play out on the wall, not realizing what is passing before their eyes, let alone what's actually happening in the real world. And here in the United States, this problem, I think, is particularly acute. And a big part of that problem, I would even argue the biggest part of that problem, although not the only part, as we'll get to in a moment, is Fox News. Now, we all know what Fox News is. We all know, because we're progressives, because we're tuned into cable, because if you listen to this show for any length of time, we've revisited Fox News again and again and again, because it's really, really hard to overestimate the corrosive effect that Fox News and its broadcasting have had on American democracy, on the shadows that many Americans view on the wall in front of them, which they have come to believe represents the real world. We've never we've never had more people in thrall to a false brand of reality than we do right now. And where does that brand flow from? Mostly from Fox News. Although recent events indicate that perhaps their position as lead shadow generators among us is under some attack. Here's what I'm talking about. Last week, the New York Times received a legal finding from the case of Dominion Voting Systems, which is a manufacturer of electronic voting machines, and Fox News. Now, why is this lawsuit taking place? Now, you may recall a couple of years ago, January 2021, a few disgruntled Americans bravely marched upon the Capitol of the United States and attempted to reverse a lawful election. Now, in the time that played out after that shocking event, I'm talking of the next few weeks, there was a massive reversal in position at Fox News, entirely driven by the fact that they have, for so many years, successfully cast shadows upon the wall in the cave and convinced so many Americans that their version of reality was the only version of reality, the only one that represented themselves as Americans, the only one that accurately portrayed life as it should be understood. So in the immediate aftermath of the January 6th attack, the people of Fox News were observing reality for a change. They were saying, as was everyone else, that Donald Trump had lost the election, that he had not been reelected president, that Joe Biden had, in fact, won and would be the next president. They were, in fact, the first major broadcast network to call the election in Trump's favor that night, on election night in 2020. And in the ensuing weeks, right after the election, leading up to January 6th, where they had another moment of reckoning, Fox did a massive reversal in this position. They observed that, first, that Biden had actually won the election. They observed that the claims that the Trump people were putting out at that time, even on Fox's airwaves, were false. That the claims of widespread fraud and abuse were false. That Biden had, in fact, won the election. So this last week, the New York Times published these findings from the Dominion lawsuit. And why did Dominion sue Fox News? Well, because one of the arguments that was coming out in support of former President Trump after the election was that Dominion Voting Systems was itself behind the widespread voter fraud that had skewed the outcome, the supposed outcome of the election, in favor of Biden. That Dominion was part of the fix, that they were in on the game, that they and the Democrats and the mainstream media and everybody else had conspired to keep Donald Trump from lawfully taking the White House again for a second term. Dominion Voting Systems, as you might imagine, took issue with this. So they have sued Fox News for $1.6 billion. So what did we learn from the findings that were released to Fox News or to the New York Times? Well, we've learned a number of things. Mostly that the lies that Fox was saying were not true. That high-level hosts and executives alike at the network knew that they were not true. Further, they knew that their viewers, that their listeners, didn't like this one bit. Because here's what happened. Immediately after the election, Fox calls, or on election night, Fox calls the election for Trump. Immediately afterwards, they're saying, yes, Biden won the election. They're observing on the air that the arguments against Biden's victory are demonstrably false. And then they started noticing that they were hemorrhaging viewers, that they were hemorrhaging listeners, that people didn't like what Fox News had to say. They didn't like, all of a sudden, hearing from their leaders that the images that have been flickering on the cave wall in front of them for so long were not actually true. And so instead of this being a revelation to Fox viewers, instead of them realizing, oh my gosh, we've been wrong, we are wrong about this election, and perhaps we've been wrong about a whole lot else for a long, long time, they didn't do that. They said, no, we would like some different shadows on the wall, please. We would like some more shadows on the wall that more accurately reflect our worldview. Please bring back the shadows that we know and love. So they left Fox. They started turning to places like Newsmax and One America News Network, whose viewership suddenly enjoyed a spike in the days and weeks following the election. So inside Fox News, as you might imagine, this was causing a bit of a turmoil. People didn't know what to do. Here's an interesting exchange, I think, that illustrates this better than just about anything else. Pardon me. There's a Fox News correspondent, Jackie Heinrich is her name. She saw a post from former President Trump about the widespread fraud. Here's what it said. Must see Sean Hannity takedown of the horrible, inaccurate, and anything but secure Dominion voting system, which is used in states where tens of thousands of votes were stolen from us and given to Biden. Likewise, the great Lou Dobbs has a confirming and powerful piece. This is what Trump tweeted. Jackie Heinrich, the Fox reporter, saw this and responded. She wrote, the top election infrastructure officials, including some in Trump's administration, had issued a statement saying, quote, there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. So here's a reporter, on-air talent for Fox, directly contradicting the statement, which was itself demonstrably false, made by the former president, that the election was fraudulently taken from him. Here's what happens inside Fox News after that happened. Carlson flagged this tweet and told Sean Hannity and others, please get her fired. Why did he say this? Because a minor fact check of the former president on Twitter was exactly what Fox's viewers and listeners could not stand hearing. It was the exact thing that was driving them away from the network and to places like Newsmax and One America Network. Carlson continued, it needs to stop immediately, like tonight. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down, not a joke. Now, this signaled a solidifying of the ranks inside Fox News, where they had flirted with reality for a few days following the election. They now closed ranks, got firmly in lockstep behind the president and his demonstrably false claims of election fraud, theft, and abuse. Why did they do this? Because they were losing viewers, because it hit their bottom line. And when push came to shove, they did the wrong thing. Quite predictably, they chose profit over their responsibility, such as it was, as journalists in the United States. And I urge you to go look at these filings in more detail. They've been exhaustively picked through in the Times and a whole bunch of other media outlets. And you can read exactly what was going on at the very highest levels within Fox News as they were holding this hot potato. This hot potato of millions of listeners who didn't want to hear anything resembling the truth. They wanted nothing but a steady diet of the lies and misinformation they had received literally for decades from this trusted source. This trusted source, which essentially allowed conservatives in the United States to live comfortably within a reality shaped by their own ideological desires, by their own racial animus, by their own xenophobia, by their own latent conservative rejection of everything representing progress, equality, equity in the United States. Fox was there for them. It cast the right shadows on the wall of the cave for them. And all of a sudden, when they stopped, it was all over. They weren't willing to accept shadows that perhaps looked a little bit more like reality, and they certainly were not willing to accept unshackling themselves, getting up from the wall, and walking out of the cave. They were absolutely unwilling to do that. So what did Fox do? It went with its viewers. And then what happened? January 6th, among other things, at which time there was another flirtation with the truth around Fox News, another wavering of their resolve. But that went to naught as well. Ultimately, preserving the stock price, keeping the viewers, propping up the bottom line, continuing their commitment to this manufactured reality was more important to them than describing the world as it exists. And that, listeners, brings us to the intersection I talked about at the beginning of the show. What is this and what does it mean for progressives? Well, here's what I think is part of the problem. Fox News in addition to being a problem in and of itself, and I think we can all agree that it is, and we all know why, in addition to Fox being a problem, it also created a problem for the rest of the media discourse in this country. It also warped the way we talk about politics and policy, and even about the act of reporting itself in this country. And it contributed to the fact that Washington, D.C., and the Washington, D.C. press corps are wired for conservatism. And here's what I mean by that. Fox News made it necessary for both liberal politicians and for liberal-leaning journalists. And let's pause for a moment here and acknowledge that despite all of the accusations that many people hurl at the mainstream media from the left about their deficiencies in reporting and their seeming lack of priorities in terms of the subjects they choose to cover and the subjects they don't, most of them tend to skew towards the liberal side of things. Why? Because, as we said on this program many times, reality has a liberal bias. The liberal and progressive worldview lines up much more closely with empirical reality than does the Fox News manufactured conservative worldview in the United States. So despite this fact, despite the fact that most members of the DC press corps skew towards the leftward side of things, the presence of Fox News made it necessary for them to do a couple of things. First of all, it made it, in order to avoid accusations of leftward bias, which is the thing that liberal and progressive politicians fear more than anything else. They fear more than anything else being accused of liberal bias. And by extension, the mainstream media fears more than anything else being accused of liberal bias. So it forced both of those groups of people to look to Fox News and give them room to maneuver. It means that they now have to say, well, we have to acknowledge that Fox News, despite its bias, is a legitimate journalistic organization. We can't simply dismiss what they say out of hand, or we're going to be accused of being liberals. And this applied equally to progressive politicians and to liberal-leaning news media figures. They were afraid to criticize Fox News because they knew it would result in them being accused of having a liberal bias. So they immediately give Fox room in which to operate. They immediately lend legitimacy to whatever it is Fox News is saying. And in so doing, they seed the ground that they need to make a solid and sustained and empirical case against the sort of reporting that Fox and its many clones represent. So that's the first way in which Washington, D.C. and the D.C. press corps is wired for conservatism. The second way is it forced everybody to essentially acknowledge conservative talking points or conservative policy positions, which, while absurd on their face, needed to be treated as something worth discussing. Like, oh, we've got to get some time to considering this opinion from the right and even approach it as if it were a factual presentation, because if we don't, we will be accused of having liberal bias. So this is behind the gradual transition of elite DC press opinion to sort of a glorified stenography. For example, if a bunch of Republicans in Congress were to go up on the floor of the Senate or the House or whatever and give a series of speeches saying that tomorrow the sun would rise in the west instead of in the east, here's how the mainstream media would then report it so as to not be accused of liberal bias. Republicans claim sun will rise in the west. Some Democrats disagree. And you think I might be exaggerating. And perhaps that example is, you know, an absurd exaggeration. But the basic pattern of what I'm talking about is true. Factual claims or claims presented as fact, which were demonstrably false, are forced to be given equal consideration, even in the face of experiential and empirical evidence that denies them flat out. So the existence of Fox News distorts the discourse to such an extent that we not only have to entertain ideas that should be dismissed out of hand as absurd, the whole establishment ends up being wired in favor of conservative discourse, all because of this fear, both on the part of mainstream media journalists and liberal politicians this fear of being accused of being too liberal, of having a liberal bias. And that leaves us where we are today. And what does it mean for the poor people sitting in the cave, watching these shadows play out on the wall year after year after year after year? They couldn't handle it. When push came to shove, when finally the edifice seemed to be cracking, when it was absolutely clear that Trump had been defeated, they could not accept that. They left their beloved Fox News when Fox could no longer give them the shadow images that they wanted to see, that they needed to see. They went somewhere else. That's how firmly entrenched this alternate reality has become in the American discourse. So here we are. Here we are sitting even in the aftermath of these legal disclosures. And the question I have for you listeners is, what do we do about this? What is the answer here? How do we make sure that enough Americans are no longer sitting chained looking at the wall at shadow images that play across its face? What do we do about that? 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Let's go to Corey. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Thanks. Yes.
Hi. Thanks so much, Abe. I'll be brief. So I went to the VA recently in Seattle, and I'm sitting there getting a blood draw, and lo and behold, up on the screen, it's Fox News. And I'm sitting there watching it, and you know, yes, I'm a veteran, and I guess veterans have to watch Fox News, but I'm sitting there, and it's this woman named Martha McCallum, and she's interviewing this black man talking about critical race theory, the boogeyman. And at no point did they mention that race is a social construct, that racism is not merely the product of individual bias, that race is something embedded in our legal system. They didn't mention that, but they're discussing critical race theory. And at the end, she just says, "Dear God, how terrifying," even though this black guy said nothing about critical race theory whatsoever. And so I asked the person giving the blood draw, "Why is this on?" And she's like, "Well, my manager said we have to put it on Fox News because that's what the veterans want." And I'm sitting there with two other guys that look like me that are brown veterans, and we're looking at her. And so I said, "Well, can I speak to the manager of the lab?" And I went and I spoke to this lady. She's like, "Well, yeah, I'll definitely change the channel. I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Yeah, because what I'm sitting there watching is basically psychological programming. You know, first of all, they're lying to people. They're lying. Any veteran that's in there is going to see that. And everything they said was not true." And I'm telling her this while I'm dressed up in a suit and tie, so I guess they gave me some leeway. And so you just have to think about the psychology of many veterans probably sit up there and watch that. They go, "Yeah, I guess I take this because here is a white lady telling us how terrified she is of critical race theory." And as I'm sitting there, everything that went through that path through the 10 minutes, it was just this sort of cyclone of red meat. Rihanna was the devil, Hunter Biden's laptop, and just like, what is going on? And I do think that it has a psychological effect on people that watch. I mean, it has. I mean, I was watching these guys called the Good Liars, and they were at a Trump rally recently, and they're sitting there saying that Trump is still the president, and him and the real military are running the country. And they, you know, where'd you get this from? Oh, Fox News. But I watched a lot of Newsmax too. Or that Biden isn't the real president because that's not the real presidential seal. It's the seal of the devil. And I'm sitting back like, wow, this is sort of scary. Like the psychology of this mindset of people who watch, because it's not just Fox. You got that Newsmax. You got, it was another one, whatever the other one that they just, I think, tried to cancel. But the point is, like, so what did you do? And I asked to talk to this person who's the lab manager, like, "Hey, can you just change this? I don't care if you do put it on MSNBC or CNN." And I have a problem with both of those because, you know, with CNN, we got to be more centrist. And I'm just like, and then MSNBC, who I actually watch a lot, but even sometimes with them, they're like, okay, they like Rachel Maddow got on my nerves with the Russia investigation and Robert Mueller is going to get up. Nothing happened. And I think after years and years of doing that, it sort of like was deflating because I'm sitting there watching that and like, okay, what is my bias? Is my bias, was I waiting for this to happen as well? Right. And so now right. I just watch a lot of local news because she really, you know, she would have on, you know, Michael Steele and Joyce Vance, and when Robert Mueller comes through, he's going to get Donald Trump. And nothing happened. I think they're doing it now with this other guy. I don't think anything's going to happen, but we'll see. But I just think the psychology of people that need to watch that, they need that psychological pablum to tell them that people that look like me are bad, women need to shut up, and gay people are trying to take your children. That's a definite, and they feed into that so much. But like I said, you said what can we do? Like, I think it's situational. I actually went to this lab manager. Hey, can you put it on a talk show? Put it on Wheel of Fortune. I don't care, but just take it off of Fox News because it's in the background and it's just there, and people start to absorb this as the truth, and it's not. It's just lies upon lies. So, yeah, I think people need to call it out. If you see it somewhere, you know, where it does. And like I said, I've been to gyms where I saw it. I get it. It's a gym. You can watch what you want. But I'm like, why is this so normalized? Like, you see, Fox News should not be normalized in any space. And I think that the story that just came out with them and the voting machines, I think that's, thank you. I mean, I'm happy it came out, but it shouldn't be normalized as normal, but it is. It's, and like you said, there's that left-wing media bias. I consider liberal bias to be normal at this point. You know, everything else is crazy, but the liberal bias are, yeah, they're just kind of telling the truth. But I get it. Like, yeah, I don't want to be, back in the day, I didn't want to be called racist. Now it's like, well, you know, there's levels to that. You know, it's where it was like, so if someone says you have a liberal bias, like, cool, thank you, I'm normal. And so, yeah, thank you so much for this discussion. Because, I kind of leave it at that. Thanks so much, Abe.
Hey, man, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You know, I think Corey nailed it right there at the end. So being accused of having liberal bias means, I'm normal. I have a closer relationship to the real world than people who watch Fox News. It's absolutely true. Consider for the fact that for years now, if you have been a proponent of the theory, and by theory I mean in the scientific sense, meaning rigorously and repeatedly proved empirically, the theory that human activity is warming the planet's climate, if you're a proponent of that position, you're accused of having a liberal bias. Well, maybe, but that's just because the liberal side of the political spectrum in this country has lined up behind the undeniable scientific fact that human activity is warming the planet. And that's why I say that reality has a liberal bias. If you're a progressive in the United States, you are much more likely to have a set of clear eyes wide open with which you perceive the world than if you are a conservative who gets their information from Fox News or Newsmax or some combination thereof. So that leaves us in the conundrum that I'm talking about. What do we do about this problem? Because look, here's what this could quite possibly mean. And for those of you who have written this off or think that this won't happen, I urge you to think about it again and think about it deeply. We have a system in which disproportionate power is given, I'm talking electorally now, to lesser populated regions of the country. Lesser populated regions of the country skew conservative, some of them overwhelmingly so. And we have a primary and nominating process by which, especially on the Republican side of the equation, a single candidate can gain momentum early and simply run over and trample all of his or her opponents and win the nomination. That person is more than likely to be Donald Trump one more time. And those same baked-in advantages that I was just talking about, the fact that the Electoral College favors red states over more populous blue states. The fact that voter suppression legislation exists to a far greater extent in red states than in blue states. All of these factors are pointing towards another nomination for Donald Trump. And if that is the case, I don't discount his chances of being able to win again. This thing is on our doorstep. It is a clear and very likely outcome. And I would urge progressives to think about this very deeply. Don't discount it. We discounted this guy once before. And we all know what happened after that. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. How does Fox News get away with this? And the only good answer I got was from the David Pakman show. And what he said was Fox News, a lot of the commercial, they hardly have any commercials. How do they get away with this? Well, it's because they make money from our cable subscription. You look at your cable subscription, how do you get rid of, I don't like Fox, I want to get rid of it. If you belong to Comcast and a myriad of other cable systems, you'll find out you can't get rid of Fox. It's automatic in there. I mean, I could get rid of MSNBC or any of the other ones, but they, you can get rid of them, but Fox, you can't. So you're paying $8 or more a month on your cable subscription to Fox. That's why they can survive without commercials. And and what's the solution to this? The only solution I can think of is if a lot of progressive or Democrats get together and say, we're going to boycott one of these cable systems, like Comcast. All Democrats and progressives cut the cable. I cut the cable a few years ago, so I don't have cable, and being blind, I don't watch TV that much because it's kind of hard to follow. But I was surprised that Fox gets that, how many billions of dollars. That's why they can pay their announcers on Fox News millions of dollars a year to be on that. And there's no consequence. There's no consequence if people quit listening to Fox. Hey, you're still paying it on your cable subscription. So what is your opinion on that?
Well, I'm with you. I think that it's one more argument in favor of cutting the cord and getting rid of your cable TV. Believe me, I had cable TV for a long time. There is very little worth occupying your time. You're much more likely, you're much better off, let me say it that way, getting rid of your cable TV and then using streaming services to see the stuff that you want to see. I think you're much better in that situation than continue to subscribe, because you're right, you end up propping up these businesses whose practices are reprehensible and corrosive to the body politic. Yeah, so I'm with you, Harry, 100%.
Very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you do the same. This could be a topic in and of itself. The way that cable television is packaged and sold to consumers is nonsense. It makes a situation like Harry is describing, where you're unable to see, in many cases, the stuff that you want to see without having also to support tacitly or otherwise all the stuff you don't, including things like Fox News. It's nonsense. But again, that's a story for another time. So we're talking about what happened in the days immediately following the election in 2020. The flirtation with the reality that Fox News went through, the sudden backlash and loss of viewership that led them to reverse course. And these findings that were released in the Dominion case lay this out. You can read the real-time exchanges of text messages and emails as the brass at Fox News were changing their tack and deciding it was better to ride or die with the diluted millions that have followed them for years than it was to continue flirting with measurable reality. That is what this spells out for you. And I suspect, I asked a few minutes ago, what do we do about this? I suspect that not a lot is going to change. The people at Fox News have had many, many opportunities to note that the reality being portrayed to them on their TV screens does not match up with what's outside their window. They've had many, many times to acknowledge this, and every time have chosen not to. Fox, even a couple of years ago, Sean Hannity testified before Congress saying that, you know, people should understand that, you know, we are entertainers and not everything we say should be considered as fact. Well, the name news is in your name. Okay. So immediately after the election in 2020, they have this reversal, of course, that I've been describing. On November 9th, Tucker Carlson writes to one of his compatriots, "I've never seen a reaction like this to any media company. It kills me to watch it." The folks at Dominion Voting Systems, are bringing this lawsuit, say in the finding, quote, "Fox executives made an explicit decision to push narratives to entice their audience back." And what happened after that? Well, January 6th happened after that, among a great many other things. Let's go to Francis. Francis, good morning.
Hi. I remember reading somewhere that Fox News is not actually a news network, it's a show. And I'm not sure how, why and how that is broken down. But what I wanted to say was, I was listening to a piece about W.E. Du Bois and how he had been dismissed quite often because of his thoughts on Reconstruction and everything. And I'm going to, for Black History Month, I'm going to read his book on the Reconstruction. But I understand that he promoted the notion that Reconstruction would assist not only recently freed slaves, but also marginalized Black people, white people, and that it was just a matter of getting those people together to understand how much they had in common. And I feel that a lot of this is to keep people separated, to keep the division going, and to promote conflict, because conflict makes money for the news media. For an example, speaking of MSNBC, on Democracy Now! The other day, I heard a discussion with Madea Benjamin about a rally that was held in D.C., an anti-war rally opposed to promoting the conflict and further conflict in Ukraine. And attending were such an array of people, including Republicans who were mega Republicans and people who have always been anti-war and who support peace. They were all there together. Madea said her group, Code Pink, didn't want her to attend because of the other people that were there. And they didn't want to give the wrong impression of their intentions. And then on the media, the news media, MSNBC, reported on that rally, which was a few hundred people. And they made it, they called it the pro-Russian rally. Now, there may have been some people there who were pro-Russian, but there was a whole lot of people there who were just opposed to war as being the method of allegedly resolving conflicts. So as long as they're allowed to twist the news, also, I don't know if we're ever going to get the real truth about anything. I'm opposed to war. I think war is stupid and illogical and never resolves anything. It just exacerbates the problem to where what we're dealing with right now. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know what the resolution is exactly. I feel that the leaders of these countries should be talking to each other. And that's the name of the game, you know. It's all quiet in the Western Front. That was the proposal. Why don't these guys just go sit up somewhere or sit down and have a conversation? A conversation would be nice. It's all about who's got guns where. And that leads us to believe that this is all just about feeding that industrial complex, the military industrial complex. So people need to get together, talk to each other, and I don't know how we're going to do that, because at this rally it was kind of interesting. They were all there opposing war, but they all were coming from totally different perspectives. So there may be something there if we can talk to each other instead of making, you know, alienating each other or divide, always total division. I mean, there are things that some of those mega people say sometimes that make a whole lot of sense, but when you consider the source, you can't even give it any kind of credibility. And then there's other things that you wonder why the media is even allowing them to have a platform, because it's so racist and ugly. So
I think the answer to that, Francis, the reason they're allowed to have that platform is because their viewers want someone saying those things to them.
Well, why
they want it really badly.
That's where those viewers need to have a conversation. with people who think differently, and how do we get that to happen? You know, I keep saying we need to have a truth and reconciliation forum, and I think that it should be for everybody, everybody who feels that they've been slighted or abused or oppressed or manipulated or exploited. Let's have the conversation, because that seems to be what the bottom line is there, is people are feeling dismissed, and it's quite as if people are dismissed. Those people in Palestine, in over there where that train blew up, that should be number one news until they figure out what's going on there, but it's not. And those 5,000 people who live in that city, I'm sure, are feeling quite dismissed.
Sure they are.
So I think the kids were telling, my kids were telling me the other day that they've encountered people. They're going to start leading with love.
Now, that's one of the wisest things I've heard in some time.
Yeah.
Start leading with love.
Right. Whomever they encounter, lead with love.
I agree. I think that's a good place to leave it. Thank you, Francis, for the call. I appreciate it. 503-231-8187. Callers have brought up the question of, you know, why is Fox allowed to continue as it is? There's a few answers to that. First of all, the press enjoys broad protections in this country to say what they like about whomever they like. And this extends all the way back to the founding of the Republic. So they have wide latitude in that regard. And but the other reason, I think, is that Fox News, over the course of its life, has been an incredibly, incredibly profitable operation. It remains the most watched cable news channel on television. Its primetime evening weeknight hosts, people like Hannity, like Carlson, like Laura Ingraham, are consistently the highest rated news hosts on TV. And they have brought in literally billions and billions of dollars for Fox News and its shareholders over the years, so much so that they're able to insulate their most egregious hosts from the consequences of their own bad behavior. I'm thinking particularly of Bill O'Reilly. Everybody remembers Bill O'Reilly, one of the most obnoxious lying suckers who's ever been on your television. What finally brought Bill O'Reilly down? Was it some egregious lie that he told? Was it some horrible insult that he delivered to a vulnerable community? No, it wasn't. It was finally that his serial sexual predation became too expensive for Fox News to keep sustaining. It was after the it was after multiple multi-million dollar settlements that Fox finally said to O'Reilly, "We've had enough." His dismissal had nothing to do with the kind of journalism, and I'm using air quotes on that word, that he produced. Nothing to do with the messaging or the ideology that he promoted. Fox loved those things, and so did Fox's viewers, and so did Fox's advertisers. It wasn't until his sexual peccadilloes became so expensive that he was finally dismissed from the network. That's the standard we're working with here. And we see that writ large in the events that played out after the election. Why aren't we reporting the truth on this presidential election that just happened? Why are we not backing up our claim, the first people to make the claim, that Biden had in fact won? Why are we not doing that? Because it's too costly. And the findings from the Dominion lawsuit show this decision-making happening at the highest levels within the network. What they were saying privately was completely different from what they were saying publicly on your TV every single day. And that, my friends, is a big, big problem. 503-231-8187. Let's go to Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for your passion and your amazement. I think we're witnessing a right-wing takeover that maybe began viciously with Ronald Reagan in 1980. I think people are turning to a right wing that promises them security, respect, and participation, and that they agree to the notion that nationalism and xenophobia can solve their problems. We seem to be an ahistorical and apolitical people who are controlled by the unelected. The elected are not the deciders. Now, I think maybe understanding George Orwell's warning about authoritarianism would be very important, that those who control the past control the future. Mm-hmm. Those who control the present control the past. We're being manipulated on the quiet. There should have been discussion about Afghanistan, about Vietnam, and about Iraq. I mean, these are horrors. Afghanistan, in terms of money, represented a $2.2 trillion loss, and that is $300 million a day. So the media and politics just looked the other way. There wasn't any criticism. And what happens to a government without self-criticism? Well, we're witnessing that, you know. These are the effects of a super wealth. And we don't even mention Canada in the corporate newspaper. We should be learning from Canada. We should be developing friendships, and we should be trying to develop the left. You know, those are just my thoughts. I'm just amazed, as a German translator, just how narrowed the debates are. How the power elite are obsessed with preserving their privileges, and therefore we don't have social housing in any city. Well, we should be experimenting with this, right? This is housing and taxation were the first two areas that collapsed under neoliberalism. The money out of nothing or trickle-down economics. You know, so we need a new economics. So you can listen to Richard Wolff on YouTube. You can listen to Michael Hudson, who talks about junk economics, when all the wealth just flows to banks and the real estate sector, and the people are priced out. Then we have junk economics, and I think that's a very courageous and a very correct perspective. You know. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I really can't argue, and I want to thank you very much for the call. You're absolutely right. I think that it does come down to how the portrayal of news affects the flow of money and the ultimate recipients of that money. We just talked a few minutes ago about how what a potent profit-making machine Fox News has been over the years, and that's absolutely the case. And let's not forget also that the topics, the policies that Fox chooses to focus its lens on have an enormous real world effect at all. Nobody beat the drums for war in Iraq louder more loudly than the people on Fox News, or for the war in Afghanistan, for that matter. It's an enormously powerful thing, the conservative media, because of the extent to which they have, first of all, captured a large and loyal audience, and second of all, the way they portray the world reinforces the biases, the assumptions, the worldview of that captured loyal conservative audience. It is an echo chamber. It is the prisoners chained in the cave watching the shadows flickering on the wall. And the only shadows they see, and I say this because of the reams of data we have showing that most people who watch Fox don't get their information from anywhere else, the shadows on the wall are always exactly what they want to see. That is a potent force in American politics. And we can literally see the wreckage that has left over the past few decades in American life. 503-231-8187. Let's go to Robbie. Robbie, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just kind of wanted to echo that echo chamber is kind of in almost every realm. I mean, even in KBOO, I'd say a lot of the talk radio kind of reinforces a lot of the stuff that I don't really think is opening to dialogue. I There used to be a show, Fight the Empire, on KABU, which mm-hmm. did kind of offer a very great perspective and did challenge a lot of that and wasn't, you know, it kind of embraced listening to what it was that other side is. But I got to point out, you know, it's not just Fox News, which, you know, other callers were saying, you know, what's happening right now is they are controlling a narrative in order to funnel us down into two sides. And there's people that were at that anti-war rally. I got to ask, did you hear about it? Did you know about it?
I didn't, no.
I'm just very disappointed in people who try to claim progressive ideologies and then they're not even anti-war enough to support a coalition of people that are against war. If we can't put aside our differences and come together to unite on one thing, then I don't really know how we can, because again, with this duopoly of information, the word is infotainment. That's what I consider Rachel Maddow. That's what I consider Sean Hannity. It's infotainment. What they're doing is they're taking entertainment and they're providing their opinions on it. I took journalism way back when I was in high school. There is no journalistic integrity anymore in any news station. In NPR, it's totally biased. You have to read so carefully how they phrase the words, who they're quoting it from, and what they're meaning. This recent smear against Seymour Hersh, is probably the most evident. And what this is doing is this is just fueling a fire of disagreements between, you know, I guess, on my side, I'm very aware and that, you know, America blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and then tried to convince everybody that it was Russia, which was very silly. But this is our news feeding us that narrative, which is why people believed it. Second of all, you have an investigative journalist who pointed out the torture in Iraq, the atrocities committed by American soldiers in Vietnam. Somebody who's willing to go out to the lengths, and liberals and Democrats cherished this guy when he was speaking out against the war machine back then. But now that this is happening under Biden and Russia's the bad guy, now they are doing smear pieces against Seymour Hersh. And it blows my mind that people are falling into this, because what's happening is a form of cognitive dissonance under this football mentality of a left and right thing. And so this, you know, to bring it back to that anti-war rally in D.C., I mean, it's just such a shame that that is fighting against the war machine. You know, it doesn't matter if there was a libertarian caucus that was, you know, there, because the thing was, is everybody was there against the war machine. And if we could create a political, push, you know, this is fighting that. And there is none of that. There is none of that. All I hear is, oh, Fox News this and this and that. And then it's like, you know, you go over to the other side and they're pointing out all the stuff with CNN and MSNBC, which, by the way, I think the Hunter Biden laptop should be. I mean, there's a reason why that's not going away. And that's because of the Burisma, a lot of this Ukraine stuff that's wrapped up into that. But Democrats don't even want to hear it. And I think that's just kind of problematic, because how are we going to find that truth if we're sitting here saying, oh, you listen to Fox News and you listen to MSNBC? I hate both of those news stations, but I'll watch them both to hear the story. And then what happens is when they report on the one story, you can figure out what it is they're trying to push. And anyway, it's just a shame that we're in this society right now. And it's, I don't know, everybody's just so confused about it, but it's like, this is by design. And it's exactly as one of the other callers, you know, the people who don't want to be caught, the people who are actually, you know, putting people like Donald Trump into office, which, by the way, Donald Trump was a Democrat up until the year 2010. He endorsed Hillary Clinton to run in 2016, in the year 2012. He was for universal health care. He was pro-abortion. You know what I mean? These people, you know, he's a Hollywood elite rich celebrity, which it's funny when you point that out to Republicans, because just like Democrats, they get annoyed of that fact too. But these are facts. These are facts. Yep. And this is people who are running the world. And we're sitting here and we're falling for their divisive fighting tactics. Now we're going to sit here and fight against the poor right-wing people who are just as confused, if not more confused, than the poor left-wing people fighting for change. And so if we're going to overcome that using this democracy, which you think is here, we have to build coalitions mm-hmm. like that, focused on one anti-war message in this particular instance.
I don't disagree. I do think I might have an answer to you regarding the question of Hunter Biden's laptop, for example. You're suggesting that there is some there,
right? The what happened with Hunter Biden and its connections to the Burisma Corporation in Ukraine, and the fact that he trafficked on his closeness to his father to advance himself personally, I think all of that is true and is worthy of investigation. Where I think we start running into a problem is that Hunter Biden's laptop became, the cause du jour of many jours on the right, and it was held up as a false equivalent. It was held up as an example of the fact that, oh, Joe Biden and his family are just as corrupt and dangerous to democracy as Donald Trump and his family and everything that they did while he was in office. And it's that false equivalence that is so corrosive to the discourse and that is so problematic in terms of any attempt to reform the institutions of American democracy. And it's part of the reason that I say that the mainstream media is wired for conservatism, because it allows these false equivalences to propagate because people are so afraid of being accused of having a liberal bias.
Well, I'm just confused about that, because on one hand, I mean, we were talking about the Hunter Biden laptop before Hunter Biden even ran for, or before Joe Biden.
We did. And listen, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, but I have to end it here. We are just simply out of time. Robbie, thank you, as always, for holding the show's feet to the fire. It's much appreciated. Read the Dominion lawsuit findings. They are revelatory. Whether that revelation will have any effect in the real world remains to be seen, but it's important to know these things. It's important to know how they happened, and it's important to have that knowledge going forward. So this has been Too Much Information on KBOO 90.7 FM. My name is Abe Proctor, and for Tracy Simmons, thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back at you next week.
Hi, I'm Jill Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.